Welcome to episode 721 of the 1010 Thrive Podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Our search for Jesus, in every book of the Bible, takes us now to the book of Psalms. If you were to ask scholars to generate the list of Old Testament books most closely associated with Jesus, the book of Psalms would likely be in the top five. It might even be one or two. A psalm is a religious song or hymn. The word psalm comes from the Greek word psalmos, which means song sung to harp music. The word psalmos is derived from the Greek verb psallein, which means to pluck or play a stringed instrument. Psalms were originally composed for musical accompaniment, likely on a stringed instrument, like a lyre or harp. Psalms are characterized by their poetic structure, vivid imagery, and emotive language. They express the whole spectrum of human emotions, from the depths of despair to the heights of exaltation. They often reflect the personal experiences and spiritual insights of the authors, offering a window into their relationship with God. The Psalms were used in the worship services at the temple in Jerusalem. The Levites, who were responsible for the music in the temple, would sing the Psalms during the sacrifices and other ritual ceremonies. They were accompanied by musical instruments, such as harps, lyres, and cymbals, as mentioned in the Psalms themselves. The Psalms were also sung during Jewish festivals, such as Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Certain psalms were associated with specific festivals, like the Hallel Psalms and Psalms 113 to 118, which were sung during Passover. Apart from the temple worship, the psalms were also used in daily Jewish worship. They were recited in the morning and evening prayers. The psalms helped people to express their feelings and emotions towards God in their daily lives. Individuals used the psalms for private devotion and meditation. The Psalms express a wide range of emotions, from joy and praise to sorrow and lament, making them suitable for personal reflection and prayer. The Psalms were also used for teaching and instruction. They were memorized and recited by students as part of their religious education. The Psalms provided insights into God's character and His relationship with His people. The Psalms were also believed to have prophetic significance. Several psalms, known as the Messianic Psalms, were seen as prophecies about the coming Messiah. They were interpreted as referring to the future restoration of Israel and the reign of the Messiah. After the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD, the use of psalms in synagogue worship became even more prominent. The psalms continued to be recited as part of the liturgy in synagogues. In the time of Jesus, the psalms were still an integral part of Jewish worship. Jesus himself was familiar with the Psalms and used them in his teachings. The early Christians, who were mostly Jewish, also incorporated the Psalms into their worship. The Psalms have continued to be a vital part of Christian worship throughout history. The book of Psalms is divided into five sections, each ending with a doxology, which is a short hymn of praise to God. This division may have been intended to reflect the five books of the Torah or the Pentateuch. Some psalms, like Psalm 119, are alphabetic or acrostic. Each verse, or group of verses, begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This structure was likely intended to aid memorization. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, with 176 verses, while Psalm 117 is the shortest chapter, with only two verses. Some psalms are designated as maskil, a term that is not fully understood today. It is believed to be related to wisdom or understanding, suggesting these psalms were meant for instruction or contemplation. Many psalms have musical notations, like selah, or instructions for the choirmaster. The exact meaning of these terms is uncertain, but they may have been used to indicate pauses, musical interludes, or changes in melody. Some psalms are known as imprecatory psalms because they invoke judgment, calamity, or curses upon one's enemies or those perceived as the enemies of God. Some biblical psalms are found outside the book of Psalms. Some examples are the Song of Moses in Exodus 15, the Song of Deborah in Judges 5, and the Prayer of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2. Hebrew poetry, including the Psalms, often uses parallelism as its primary poetic device. This means that one line of a verse will mirror the next line in some way, whether through similar or contrasting ideas. Since at least the time of David, the Psalms have played a multifaceted role in worship, serving as a rich resource for expressing praise, prayer, confession, lament, and more. They reflect the full range of human experience and emotions, and the context of worshiping a holy and gracious God. Think of all the ways in which the Psalms are used in worship. They are recited or sung during various parts of the worship service, including the call to worship, responsive readings, and benedictions. Psalms are often read aloud during worship services as part of the scripture reading. They serve to remind worshipers of God's character, promises, and covenant faithfulness. Psalms are used as a basis for meditation and reflection during worship. They help worshipers to ponder the greatness of God, the beauty of His creation, and the wonder of His love and grace. Psalms are often used as the basis for sermons and teachings. They provide rich theological insights, practical wisdom, and guidance for living a godly life. Given the centrality of the Psalms to worship, they are closely aligned with Jesus. Why? Jesus is the object of worship. As the Son of God, Jesus is fully divine and worthy of worship. We worship Jesus because He is the incarnate Word of God, the Savior, and the Lord of all creation. Jesus is the mediator of worship. Through His death and resurrection, Jesus reconciled humanity to God, making it possible for people to approach God in worship. Jesus is the high priest who intercedes for believers. Jesus is the model of worship. Jesus demonstrated what true worship looks like. He lived a life of perfect obedience to God, regularly engaged in prayer and worship, and taught His followers to worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament worship. The sacrificial system and religious rituals of the Old Testament pointed forward to Jesus, who offered Himself as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Jesus fulfilled the types and shadows of the Old Testament worship. Jesus is the center of New Testament worship. The proclamation of the gospel, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, and the worship of the church all focus on Jesus as the crucified and risen Savior. Jesus is the empowerer of worship. He promised to send the Holy Spirit to His followers. The Holy Spirit enables believers to worship God with genuine hearts, glorifying Jesus, and bearing spiritual fruit. Singing is a natural outcome of being filled with the Spirit or the Word of Christ. The Psalms served as the hymnal of the early church, reflecting the new truths found in Christ. God remains constant throughout all the Psalms, yet our responses to Him vary based on our unique life circumstances. The psalmist praises our incredible God, who is both exalted beyond our human experiences and yet intimately close, walking with us through life's journey. We can openly bring all our emotions to God, even when they're negative or filled with complaints. He will listen and understand. The psalmist shows us that when we're overwhelmed by life's challenges, the most profound prayer we can offer is a cry for help. Father, as we reflect on the Psalms, may our hearts resonate with their timeless truth and beauty. Guide us in expressing our deepest emotions, joys, and sorrows to You. Strengthen our relationship with You, and let our worship always glorify Your name. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.